Hey, I'll pivot to what we're really here for. It's called Let's Get Legal. It's a legal show where we examine things through a legal lens, and it's powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And I am just, my job here is to ask dumb questions of smart people. That's my job normally on this show, especially here on Let's Get Legal. One of those smart people we love talking to is Audrey Anderson. Well, Audrey, thanks for hopping on the show with us yet again here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
We've had you kind of on call, I feel like, many of the last few weeks, because we've just been inundated by these really prolific trials, and you've offered some expertise. And I don't know whether you're going to like this or not, but we're not going to ask you anything about Jussie Smollett. How about that?
That's okay. That's a relief. Yay.
Yeah, right? Exactly. 312-981-7200, by the way, is our phone number, too. If you ever think of anything or want to have any other questions, that's always engaging. But trust me, in the next half hour, we'll be Jussie Smollett free. But we do have to talk about something serious. And we are now a couple weeks from the Michigan school shooting. And I was on the air in for Anna DeVellantes, I believe, when a couple days afterwards, they announced that they were going to charge the parents for involuntary manslaughter. Am I getting that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And then they couldn't find the parents. And it was a very heated day on the radio. We took a lot of well-meaning phone calls about whether parents should or shouldn't be charged in that. But it was kind of in the heat of the moment. And I felt like we should revisit this when we've all had a chance to catch our breath and really analyze things. So that's what we're going to chat a little bit about today, okay?
Sounds perfect.
Okay. So what have the parents been charged with?
So it's my understanding that they've been charged with involuntary manslaughter.
And what does that mean?
So that means that their actions somehow assisted in a reckless way their son and his actions in taking the gun to school and unfortunately killing these other students and individuals at the school.
Is it weird, and this is my biggest question, that he has been charged as an adult, and I feel like, I don't know, it's got to be unusual to charge someone as an adult, meaning that they had the capacity to know what they were doing, the right versus wrong, all of that. But then you can charge someone else for that as if they were responsible for that. Does that make you a little uneasy too, or no?
It does. It does make you uneasy that you can be responsible for the acts of a teenager who everyone knows is not thinking clearly. I mean, their brains aren't fully developed until they're in their 20s, which science has proven, but that the parents are responsible. But the law is clear that parents, unfortunately, are responsible for the actions of their parent or their children. And these parents have assisted, or they were aware, unfortunately, of what their son was capable of, and they did nothing to stop it.
So that's really what the charge is about. Because if you look at Michigan law, correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears there's no law against you have to have your guns locked up, right?
Correct. And they can still be responsible and charged with involuntary manslaughter, even in Illinois, even though their acts were legal, such as it's legal for them to buy a weapon. It's legal for them not to have their guns locked up at home and to have their kids have access to it. Those are all legal, but they recklessly knew what their son was capable of, knew he had access to it, knew that they were giving it to him as their Christmas gift, which is an excellent gift, I suppose. But they knew what he was going to do with it, and they did nothing.
Right. So what we're referring to are a couple things that the prosecutors have alleged in this case is that, yes, that the gun was posted on social media, like, here's a gift. The son had joked about ammunition or buying ammunition or something along those lines. A teacher, you know, said in trouble. The son texted his mom saying, I got in trouble for this. Are you mad at me? Something along these lines. I'm paraphrasing here. And she said something like, just don't get caught. I'm not upset with you, or something in that vein. And then the meeting at the school that morning, which is just so horrific to even think about, that they were shown a note, which may have been scratched out by the time the parents saw it, but it had something to do with a handgun and shooting and not being able to stop the voices or stop the thoughts. So it's more that, not that the specific laws were broken, but the overall evidence that was presented to the parents that any reasonable parent would say, hey, hold on, I can do something to stop this.
Correct, because the school didn't realize that the parents had purchased the gun for their son. The school didn't realize that the mom had taken her son to actually have target practice or shooting lessons with that gun. So the parents were aware that these were thoughts that were running through his head while at school. And the school didn't realize that he could actually follow up, that he had access to a weapon, that he knew how to use a weapon. But his parents provided it to him, and they trained him on how to use it.
So when the parents were presented with their information, then that they were maybe obligated to let the school know, as just a reasonable adult, hey, by the way, he has access to guns.
Right. And if they at least didn't want to rat on their own child, which is completely understandable, they should at least have been saying, well, you know what? We understand your concern. We're going to take our son home. Mm-hmm. Because in their mind, they should have realized he has access to the weapon. It's his. He knows how to use it. He could be a threat. We'll take him home. Even if they didn't want to tell the school, the parents themselves knew about it.
Yeah. We're talking with Audrey Anderson about all things this case. Audrey is a criminal defense attorney, but also worked in the state's attorney's office, which we always appreciate your perspective on both sides of that. What is the jury, when this eventually goes to trial, and this will be some time, what does the jury have to decide? Because, I mean, a lot of these jurors are going to be parents, too, and a lot of parents don't ever fathom that their kids could do something like this. Is that what the defense is probably going to argue? That, look, parents, especially these parents, would have had no idea that their child could maybe have done something like this, trying to sympathize with the jurors that maybe are parents themselves.
That's very true. So it's an interesting position for parents, if you are a parent, because you're pretty much throwing your child under the bus, saying you didn't realize how significant your child's mental health issues were, or that they had issues at school with bullying, which is sometimes a lot of case for some of my clients that they're bullied. So that's why they're doing this, or feel ostracized. So you're saying you didn't realize what your child had done, but you then have to overcome the hurdle of saying, well, why didn't you ask your child how his or her day at school was? Why weren't you staying connected? But then still arguing, well, they're teenagers. They're not very forthcoming on how their day at school was.
Right. And exactly. And there's a lot of kids who aren't very forthcoming about how their day was. There's a lot of kids, you know, after a lot of these shootings, unfortunately, we hear they were very withdrawn. A lot of kids are withdrawn in certain ways, right? It's hard to know what it is. But the difference here is the parents obviously knew about this kid's access to guns, which isn't always the case in school shootings, although most of them do come from the parents being the ones to own the guns. 763 had an interesting point. It's sad that parents are not charged and convicted more often since responsible parenting is no longer expected. That's their opinion. But let's talk about the facts. Are parents often charged after school shootings or mass shootings perpetrated by teenagers?
No, not that I'm aware of. And I did do actually some research even before coming here, just because I was curious about this, because I have represented a lot of students, not with school shootings, but bringing weapons or making threats to school. So they're charged criminally or with expulsions. And really, this is one of the few cases where the parents actually are. And I don't know if it's just because prosecutors are hesitant to charge, or that the prosecutors in this case did it just because it's so outlandish that the parents were made aware of this and did nothing.
When they actually go to trial and they, you know, if they go to trial and they have to talk about this to the jury, what is the jury supposed to consider? Is it what's the standard for, yeah, the parents probably should have known about it? Because that's it's a little nebulous, right?
That's true, that they should have known what a reasonable person would have known, and that their acts were reckless in their interaction with their child. And they're still accountable legally for the actions of their child because they aided, abetted, or furthered his ability to commit those murders by giving him the weapon and teaching him how to use it.
One piece of evidence that I felt like could be strong against the parents in this case is that when news broke that this was happening, in fact, and this is just so horrifying to think of, and, you know, a lot of people have been vilifying these parents, and certainly I think that a reasonable person would say they've made some mistakes, but, you know, your heart has to go out to certain people going through horrible things, right? We're still human beings, and they must have been horrified with what their son allegedly did. But in that moment, the mother allegedly texted the son, please stop or don't do this. And if I'm a juror and I'm sitting there thinking that all she's heard, the mom, is that there's been a school shooting at the school, she immediately jumps to the conclusion that her son might be the one responsible. To me, that kind of connects the gaps as a juror, if I was hearing this evidence, of she knew that this was perhaps a possibility. That could be evidence to show that as a reasonable person, she and her husband did know this was possible.
Absolutely, because it's not as if they were announcing the student's name who was doing the shooting. So her jumping to that conclusion that it was her son, it does show consciousness of guilt, that she was aware that he was truly capable and had the means to do it.
Yeah. 312-981-7200 is our phone line. We're going to take a quick break. I want to chat about threats in general. You mentioned kids bring guns to school, those sorts of things, how serious that is. And I think it's a conversation that all parents are going to want to listen to and then have a conversation with their kids about. John Hansen here, along with Audrey Anderson, who does a lot of great works as a criminal defense attorney, has some experience as a prosecutor as well. By the way, Audrey, how can people reach you? What's the best way for people to find out more information about you and everything that you guys do?
Well, they can definitely reach out to our website, AndersonAA.com, or feel free to give us a call. But reaching out to us through our website is probably the best.
Right. I always tell people, AndersonAA.com, right?
Correct.
Or Google it. That's always what we do anyways these days. All right. We're talking about the really horrific Michigan school shooting and the ramifications that have come. We've got a lot of texts saying, yes, I'm glad, you know, the parents have been charged with involuntary manslaughter. More should be. And then a lot of people immediately also point to the school. And, you know, again, my heart goes out to any school official that has to deal with these sorts of things and to the school specifically. I'm sure if they could go back, they would have done things differently. But they were meeting with this child and his parents with this note present. I know a teacher had taken a picture of the note in its form before it was all scratched out, showing a handgun or some threat of, I can't get the thoughts out of my head. And they asked the parents if they wanted to take the son home. They said no. I don't know how that kid doesn't have his book bag searched, his locker searched. I think that's pretty standard procedure from what I've heard from teachers and officials. And I do not know how they let that kid out of their sight the rest of the day. All right, fine. You're not going to leave school for the day. I don't know if they have the authority to kick him out on the street. Maybe not. But he's sitting in that office the whole day if I'm them. Now, again, in the moment, it's a lot easier said than done in hindsight. Is the school, like, culpable? Are there criminal charges that can be brought against people in that? Civil ones? What's your read on that situation?
Right. Criminally, it'd be very, very difficult to prove, even though I know so many people think that they should be criminally responsible for the actions and somehow aiding or abetting it because they were aware. But that's, unfortunately, at this point, I don't believe sufficient enough for criminal charges. But clearly, civilly, they are going to definitely be held responsible. And they are legally responsible, I believe, in just reviewing the laws.
Right.
Because they were made aware of it. But the school did act promptly. Mm-hmm. As soon as the teacher brought it to their attention, they immediately reached out to the student's parents. They immediately held a meeting with the school's parents. But you're right. Schools have so much discretion and ability and authority to search lockers, vehicles, backpacks, students, that they really should have done something. And if the school has a school resource officer, police officer assigned to their campus, they really should have had that school resource officer sit on that student and do all these things. Yeah. They have the legal ability to do that.
We don't know if they had a school resource officer, at least what I've read. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. You always do a great job of that, and we appreciate it, seriously. Why, in a civil case like that, Do you have to prove malice, or can you just prove aloofness or whatever the case may be, not following procedure, or just they didn't act as a reasonable person would do? What's the line for that?
Correct. The burdens and the standards of knowledge and intent are completely different in criminal and civil. And of course, the burden of proof is different too. In civil, it's much lower. The knowledge intent, that's much lower. Acting recklessly, it's much lower for civil trials than criminal. So definitely civilly, they were aware of the situation. It actually did occur. So it could be the school district, the school, the specific officials within the school, unfortunately, even though they didn't do it intentionally, presumably. Right. But still, they're going to be civilly responsible.
It is. I'm glad you used the word unfortunately. I feel bad for everyone in this situation, except the alleged gunman. I feel bad for, it's just a horrible, horrible situation. And I think parents lack the, imagination is not the right word, but that's the word I'll go with. Like, they lack the thought that anything like this can happen. But we do have threats that happen and copycat threats that happen after that. How seriously do police officers, prosecutors, whatever, take threats that are erroneous, made in jest against school districts?
Very seriously. Just in my own experience as a criminal defense attorney and before that as a prosecutor, any comment in jest or between friends is the utmost threat to the schools and prosecutors, police officers. The schools are very diligent in wanting to see those children charged, those students charged. So absolutely.
Charges juveniles, as adults, what are the charges?
Correct. Typically, it's just as juveniles if they make these threats. It's more difficult to charge them as adults unless it is an actual unfortunate shooting with a homicide or murder that occurs. But yes, they get charged as juveniles because they draw them into the system so that they can get the services to help them address why they they were making these comments, even if they were just out of jest to their friends.
Right. I think there's varying degrees here, right? Like, no one should be joking about any of this stuff, but a joke to a friend is different maybe than posting something on social media or perhaps bringing a weapon. Even if you say you're not going to use it, maybe you're going to show it to some friends to scare them or to make a point. There's obviously varying levels of this, right?
There is. And so in my experience with representing juveniles, the prosecutors charge them as high and as serious as they can. And then I provide the mitigation. And that's what we do as juvenile defense attorneys or even as adult criminal defense attorneys. We provide the mitigation to explain why our juvenile did something so irrational and stupid, because they were bullied or something that they didn't really mean it. They just did it to a circle of friends on social media, or they brought a weapon to school just because they wanted to feel like they were important, because they're always neglected by other students and kids.
I know someone might say, like, oh, well, you're defending these kids. I mean, number one, you're a defense attorney. That's what you're to do. But you bring up a good point, is that, you know, if these students haven't, you know, gone forward and do these acts, kids do stupid stuff. They do it a lot. That shouldn't necessarily ruin the rest of their life, but they should feel some form of responsibility for a lot of those things. That must be a hard line for you to draw, but an important one. You want to make sure that at the end of the day, what we are trying to do is set up kids to eventually become functioning adults in our society, correct?
Correct, absolutely. And get the juveniles that are charged, my clients, the help that they need with counseling. But then if they really do have an issue with bullying, I've seen it through many of my clients that law enforcement and the prosecutors do follow up. And the other students that are bullying my client, they get held accountable as well.
Okay.
So there is a positive outcome.
And I imagine, you know, whether it's about cases like this or just other juveniles you've worked with, you know, I think that sometimes we get in our heads that some teenagers are beyond rehabilitation. That's not the case at all, is it?
I don't think so. And they can say that of everyone, that everyone's
right.
Could be pure evil. But truly, I mean, there is some part of some child that's just struggling and they just don't know how to respond to it.
Right. And we're not talking about some of the more serious events. I mean, we're talking about just, you know, things that kids do, even if they're wrong. They deserve representation in court just like every other adult does, correct?
Right, because people just say things in the heat of moment, not just kids, especially kids, but even adults do that as well. If you're having an argument or you're just having a bad day, or like I refer to as a mini moment, you say things out of the heat of moment or anger, but that doesn't actually mean you're going to act on that.
Yeah. I wish you all could have seen how big of a smile Audrey had when Ernie read her name there, Audrey. Isn't that fun to hear your own name on the radio?
It's just mind-boggling, yes. To think as a little kid, this is what I would be doing, listening to GN when I was a kid. My parents picked me up from school, and here I am sitting here talking to you. It's quite amazing.
That's awesome. I feel the same way. I grew up listening to GN as well, and my dad and mom still listen to like every single shift I do. But I think they'd be listening to WGN anyways. I think I just happened to be on the air, and they're like, oh, yeah, John's there. That's cool. Mm-hmm. No, we love it here, and we really appreciate your perspective. If you missed the last hour, if you're just hopping on now, first of all, thanks for hopping on with us today. We're on till 5:30 today. We get a bonus half hour before we go to Blackhawks pre and post with Joe Brand, and of course the actual game itself. That's coming up at 5:30 as the start of that pregame show. But we've been talking about the situation in Michigan, the horrific school shooting, 4 students killed, the parents charged with involuntary manslaughter, and we kind of then branched out to, look, there's been copycat threats after this in Michigan. That happens after a lot of school shootings, I imagine, right? There's always copycat threats after it's big in the news, right?
That's very true. And the difficulty for law enforcement and prosecutors are, what are truly copycats as opposed to kids that are just doing this just because they want to do it for fun and have funds, or those that are actually intent and seriously considering doing something similar?
Right. That's got to be really hard, because you want to take everything seriously, but you can't take every bullied... you can't take every bullied kid seriously. Of course you can. Not every kid that gets bullied is going to shoot up a school, right?
Right.
So it's a real difficult balancing act. In fact, Lane Tech, I live right over by there, just the other morning, there was lines of kids outside of the school. We were wondering what happened. We went to talk to some of the parents, and they said, oh, there was, someone had posted on social media a picture of a gun with the initials LT on it. It wasn't necessarily a school student. It was just an image that was circulating. Who knows if that meant Lane Tech, Lyons Township, Lincoln Town, but the school said, all right, well, guess what? We're going to check everyone's bags on the way in. Probably an appropriate response, but they probably missed first period. I mean, there are limitations to what schools can or can't do, but I bet they err on the side of taking these things seriously, right?
They really do. And I know people think, well, it's interfering with the student's right, the family right, to be so intrusive and to put these kids through all this, but you're balancing that against the whole,
yeah,
a school shooting and protecting all these students.
Yeah. And again, I think it goes to the thought of this will never happen here. And people go, oh, really? They're doing all this? No one's going to do that. I hope, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe more people are as aware and glad that they search every bag when these things happen or when threats are made. It's just a different era. I was a freshman in high school when Columbine happened. I just know that things are a lot different. We used to be able to do different things in school. And I think that maybe some parents don't have conversations with their kids about it because it was different when they were in school.
That's so true. I was a prosecutor at the state attorney's office at Columbine, so clearly I'm older, mm-hmm, a supervisor of drug unit. But I remember just thinking when we were kids a very long time ago, I don't think my parents got called unless it was something significant, a broken bone. I'm mm-hmm sure they didn't even get called if you got like a little fat lip.
Right.
But you would bring pocket knives. You would tease each other. They never did anything. They never even thought that something could happen, that a student would actually think of something like that.
What do you recommend for parents then? Is it about being completely up to date with the school code of conduct, local laws about those things, and then actually sitting your kid down and explaining what is okay or not okay?
Absolutely. It's just having that relationship with your kid. And it's so hard. It doesn't matter if your kid's 7 or 17. They don't necessarily want to chat and tell their parents everything. You don't necessarily want to be their friend. You want to be their parent. But you want to have that open dialogue with them to explain why you're asking them about what's going on with school. How are the friends? Are they getting involved? Being aware of what your student is doing, your child is doing. If they're withdrawing from friends or social activities, if they're withdrawing from sporting events, things like that, to see if those could be possible indicators that something's going on with them.
I know a lot of parents like to, you mentioned, be friends. And like, there is a level of, it's great that a lot of parents now are open with being really emotionally available for their kids and vice versa. I think that's a really valuable thing that can happen. But that line drawn between I'm a parent or I'm your friend often is the idea of searching their bedroom, searching their book bags. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a very individual decision, right, for parents to make with their kids.
It definitely is, because thinking back when I was a teenager or in junior high, I didn't want my parents doing any of that.
Of course.
Because you want your own space. You feel like you need to be your own individual. But it's just really explaining to them why you're doing this. You want this open dialogue. You want your child, your student, to know you can come to them with anything that's on their mind. They're not going to be punished by it. They just, as a parent, you want to know what's going on, but you need to be aware and to see what's going on with them and reading their notes or reading their social media, their texts, everything.
The parents that were charged in Michigan, there were some pretty alleged egregious acts on their end. They were posting social media about guns, joking about, well, don't get caught about talking about ammunition in school. And that's probably why they were charged, because it was. I don't know if every parent now from now on is going to be charged after an incident in school. I wouldn't imagine so. But either way, parents should still know that that is a possibility, that they are responsible, and that there are those extra steps they need to do. If someone's listening right now and maybe their kid was well-meaning and made a stupid joke, they did a thing a kids do, and they led to an issue at school or legally, what's your advice for parents in those situations?
Parents obviously should hire an experienced attorney to represent their child as an intermediary on behalf of their child to talk to the prosecutor. But even if their child doesn't get charged, they really need to insist that their child goes to speak with a counselor or a therapist, to talk to someone who's completely independent, who will listen to them with an open mind to see what the issues are behind what they're thinking and feeling.
Yeah. I mean, boy, it's just a hard line, because you want to believe that kids are, you know, they're not evil at heart. I mean, 99.999% of kids aren't. A lot of those kids do stupid things. They say stupid things. They bring somebody to school that they shouldn't have. Doesn't mean that they were going to cross that line into this other world, but it's something that should be taken seriously. But I'm glad there are folks out there helping those kids after those mistakes to reach adulthood and be, you know, a fruitful part of our society. I'll get off my soapbox now, Audrey. That was my little 2 cents. Anything else you want to add about the conversation? Any last-minute thoughts you have for parents out there as they navigate these very difficult waters?
I know it's just so hard, and you're scared as a parent sending your child to school, but you really do have confidence, and you have to have confidence in the schools, the school resource officers, the police department, prosecutors, everyone, that they're there to really protect your child,
yeah,
and not live a fearful life.
Right, and parents are very involved with their schools these days, continue to be so, and ask questions about what their policies are about certain things. Make sure, I'm sure that schools have procedures, drills, things like that. It's good for the parents to know that stuff too, right, Audrey?
It definitely is. I ask all the time.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. As a former prosecutor and a current criminal defense attorney, especially working with a lot of juveniles, I believe that. Audrey Anderson, AndersonAA.com, right?
Correct.
That's where you can reach her. Thanks for joining us and staying a little late for us today, okay?
It's my pleasure. Thanks again.